Sex and happiness both enrich our lives, yet it's surprising how few people can honestly say that they enjoy regular and fulfilling sex or describe themselves and their lives as happy. Host Lori Handlers helps you to experience real intimacy and happiness. You'll laugh a little, learn a little, and we hope put a smile on your face and a smile in your life. Now here's Lori.
Hi, everybody. You're listening to Sex and Happiness, a show about sex and happiness. And I'm Lori Handlers, your host. And today we're going to be talking about one of our favorite subjects. We've had a few shows on this subject. I've certainly gotten an education in interviewing people about this. We're going to be talking about some aspects of BDSM, which is bondage, domination, submission, and I think the M is... Well, we'll find out from our guest what M is, because it could shift. It could be masochism, I think. Anyway, my guest today is KZ Kane. She's an author and a switch, currently residing in the Phoenix area. She's been into the BDSM scene for 18 years, and her first book in this genre is called Blindfolded, A True Story. It'll be published sometime this year being 2015. So, KZ, thank you for being my guest today on Sex and Happiness. It's a pleasure to have you.
It's my pleasure as well. Thank you.
You're welcome. It's great. And so, BDSM, because sometimes people have the S and the M as sadomasochism, and sometimes people have it as submission and masochism. So how do you define BDSM?
Well, it's all correct, you know, because all of those are aspects of BDSM. But it was bondage, domination, submission, sadomasochism. So the S is sort of like twice. BDSSM.
Oh. Well, there you go.
BDSM.
There you go. You find out something new every day about this. I have had many shows in the past on BDSM, and I haven't in a really long time. So I have a lot of listeners, and probably some of them have never heard anything about this. So we're going to start from a place of being completely ignorant, and that makes it really good for people listening, because they get, even if they know something about it, they get a new view and a new way of looking at things that maybe they've never tried, maybe they've never even thought about. But because of the book 50 Shades of Grey, which I don't happen to think is a good book, but I do think it did a lot for for regular people who people in the BDSM world call vanilla. It did a lot for vanilla people to be able to look in their lives and say, wow, would spanking excite me? Would being tied up excite me? Would being blindfolded excite me? Would whatever excite me in a way that I never considered before or thought about before, what have you? So you're coming at a good time, because the week now that you're on this show is the exact week that movie is premiering. So this is perfect timing for you.
Yes, thank you. I appreciate that. And I think it's kind of funny. I believe the launch date of the movie is on Valentine's Day. So a great movie to take your partner to, provided, I will say, that the movie is much better than the book. And I think that Hollywood would never intentionally make a bad movie, because they're all about making money. So I'm hoping that the movie is, you know, 50 Shades better than the books. I thought the books were horribly written, and I thought they did a disservice to the BDSM community in that it makes it seem like people that participate in BDSM are somehow flawed. You know, it's like he's beating her because she reminds him of his mother who he hates, you know, things like that. And it's really not at all that. You know, people that engage in BDSM probably engage in more consensual sex and activities than people that are what we call vanilla, as you mentioned, because everything is agreed to beforehand. And even though it looks like one person might be completely dominating another person, the submissive actually wants to be dominated in the way that they are being dominated. Unlike in vanilla relationships, when you have a dominant-submissive relationship, it's not consensual. And it is usually something that the submissive can't get out of and wants to get out of. And the dominant party can be masochistic. And in those situations, it's extremely unhealthy. But in the BDSM world, where you are agreeing to a power exchange for various reasons, it can make the relationship so much better and deeper and fulfilling that it's really hard to consider going back to a vanilla style relationship.
So what you're saying is that this, I think what you're saying, how I'm interpreting it is that you agree to various agreements ahead of time, that you agreed to possibly a time frame, and you would call this play, like you are role playing, and it wouldn't be for real, like in real life, there's oftentimes someone in a relationship is being dominated by someone else in the relationship, and they know it consciously or they don't know it consciously, but it's not so healthy. It's like one person overrides the other person's decisions all the time, or or it makes the other person feel inferior all the time, or what have you. And in this case, this is play, so people get to say yay or nay to whatever the terms are, and they also can call it off. Somewhere midstream.
Exactly, and that's called safe word. So if you're agreeing to a scene where someone's tied up and maybe it looks like rape or non-consensual sex, and the submissive is screaming, no, no, don't, stop, you know, screaming in a way that a normal person would say, uh-oh, that person's in trouble, I need to help them. It's really not the case. That's just the role that they're playing. And if there really is something wrong, the submissive, instead of saying, no, stop, they're going to say whatever their safe word is. And that stops the scene. So the safe word might be bananas, something that would be very obvious that wouldn't be part of the scene. I always use the word safe word because there's absolutely no ambiguity. And since you're stopping the scene anyway, it doesn't matter what the word is.
Good. That's very good to know. That's actually a really good tip. So you could say safe word, or you could say bananas, or avocados, or Sheboygan, or whatever.
Yeah, it's whatever you guys agree that the safe word is going to be. And if you're playing a game, or a scene, actually, is what we would call it, where the submissive is gagged, so they can't say safe word, then you have another signal, and the signal might be that person's holding a towel, and they drop the towel. Or maybe they're holding a bell or something that makes noise when they drop it, and then that alerts the dom that the scene needs to stop. And the scene can stop for a variety of reasons. It could be something like, you know, you have a leg cramp and you can't get rid of it. You can't breathe, maybe. Something's wrong. You need to stop it. Or you have an emotional problem. Sometimes when people play, things come up for them emotionally and they can't handle it. So then they stop it.
Got it. Very good and very informative in terms of what this is about, to let people know. That's great. So it says in your bio that you've been participating in BDSM scenes for 18 years.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I got started kind of by accident, but I've always been interested in spanking. I mean, I can remember one of my very first memories was watching a cartoon about a little horse that gets spanked, and it made me sexually aroused. And I've always been a submissive personality type. I, you know, got a lot of pleasure from doing the right things and helping my mom and always being a good girl. I got a lot of emotional praise, or I got a lot of praise, and it fed me emotionally so that I liked being submissive. So when I was older, I met a man in California, and we hit it off, but I didn't live in California, so we had a little bit of a romance via emails and talking on the phone, and in one of the emails, he asked me if I knew what a switch was. Well, I was all excited because I thought, finally, I'm going to, you know, be in a relationship with somebody who will actually spank me. And he was talking about the BDSM switch, someone who will play either the dominant or the submissive role.
You thought he meant like the, like a switch, like a cane of...
Like a little stick, you know, that you get off
a tree. Yeah.
Yeah. So I said, of course I know what a switch is. So he was all excited. And we got together the first time after not, you know, after only having met each other once. And he had all these toys, and I was horrified, you know, because I I just didn't know what I was getting into. And now I think back on all the toys we had, they were so innocent, really. But after a few times of being with him, he asked me to top him. And I said, I can't do that. I couldn't hurt you. And he goes, well, you said you were a switch. So that's when we had the big conversation about what a switch is. And so he told me to
say again. So say again, a switch is?
A switch is someone who will play either the dominant role or the submissive role.
And that's also known as top or bottom.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
Okay, because anytime you use a new term in here, we have to define what it is because we can't assume that anybody knows.
Right, and top and bottom come from actually the gay scene, the leather scene, but people in BDSM have definitely adopted it. So the top is the dom and the bottom is the sub.
Okay.
So he demanded that I top him, and I was a submissive when he was talking to me at that point, and I said, well, sir, I don't know how to do that, and I don't want to do it. You know, so I'm basically telling him no, which was kind of a no-no. That was our agreement. I wasn't ever going to tell him no. And so I said, the only way I could top you is if you actually command me to do it as my dom. So my dom commanded me, his sub, to top him.
Mm-hmm.
So it was pretty funny.
That's pretty interesting.
Yes, and eventually I did take to it like a duck to water, and now it just depends on the personality that I'm with. So everybody has a certain energy, and, you know, everyone picks up on it. Some people have a more subtle energy. Some people are more able to read other people. But I can tell right away whether I'm with someone who I would submit to or whether I'm with someone that I would only dominate.
Well, you know, on that thought, we're going to take a short break. That's a perfect place to stop because that's exciting. And we can come back and talk about what it is that would have you choose one or the other based on reading another person. That's a great place. So I hope everybody's at the edge of their chairs. This is Laurie Handlers. You're listening to Sex and Happiness. And I'm interviewing Casey Kane today, who has written a book, a true story about domination and submission, and we are going to come right back and we're going to find out how she decides who she could be dominated by and who she could only dominate. I think it's a great place to stop. We'll be right back. My question for people right now is, if you're a woman who could use a little zest and zing in your arousal response, or maybe you know women or a woman who could use this, because many women say that their feelings of desire, arousal, and sexual satisfaction don't happen as naturally or as often as they'd like. So I want to tell you about Zestra, because Zestra was developed to meet this much-needed option for women. Zestra Safe and a patented blend of botanical oils and extracts, and it's created to help women have increased sexual sensations. Zestra comes in convenient single-dose personal packets. Each packet keeps the essential arousal oils and extracts free, fresh, and safe from light. And with application of Zestra, it starts to work within 3 to 5 minutes. And at about 10 minutes, there's something called the Zestra Rush. And that can last up to about 45 minutes. The great news is that Zestra can be used as frequently as you like during each sexual experience. Now, I'm somebody who believes that all women deserve sexual satisfaction. That's why I do this show, in case you hadn't noticed. So I believe that men and women deserve sexual satisfaction. So if you're a woman who isn't getting that kind of arousal response that you want, please call 877-426-8047. That's 877-426-8047. And please remember to say you heard about Zestra from Laurie Handlers on the Sex and Happiness Show.
Are you wondering what book to read to jumpstart your life? Get the best from relationships? Attain the deepest feelings of intimacy? Do you want the best sex along with great happiness? Get your copy of Sex and Happiness, The Tantric Laws of Intimacy by Laurie Handlers right now. You'll learn how to make love in the unknown, take the performance anxiety and reaching a goal out of sex. You'll learn subtle ways of communication and really important practices to empower you when dealing with an intimate partner. You'll let go of blame and struggle. Doesn't this sound great? Sex and Happiness puts the innocence back into sex and gives Tantra the respect it deserves. Take charge of your life, physically, emotionally, and spiritually with Sex and Happiness by Lori Handlers, only $19.99 paperback and $14.99 ebook. Order your copy today by going to butterflyworkshops.com. That's butterflyworkshops.com for your copy of Sex and Happiness.
Are you longing for more passion in your life? How about deeper intimacy? Would you happen to be stuck in a rut? I am so excited to tell you about the next ISTA Shamanic Spiritual Sexual Level 1 training, March 8th to the 15th, near Tucson, Arizona. This is an 8-day residential retreat that will be led by myself, Crystal Dawn Morris, and Lance Cole. Thousands of people on 5 continents have benefited from this training over the past 10 years, and I'm thinking you could be the next one to receive the benefits. You'll awaken your ability to live and love authentically. You'll explore masculine and feminine energy through shamanic ritual, guided visualizations, dance, and breathwork inside of an amazing community. You'll be empowered to know yourself as whole and complete, and your heart will be free. You can go to butterflyworkshops.com, click on workshops to find out more about this amazing week-long retreat, and even better, you can register. You know, March is just around the corner.
Well, we're back with Sex and Happiness, and I'm Lori Handlers, and today I'm interviewing Casey Kane, who's an author and a switch, currently living in the Phoenix area. She has been in the BDSM scene for 18 years, and she's just about to talk to us about how she knows by meeting someone, assuming she's interested in being with that person, because obviously not everybody walking through the door would interest her, but if she was interested in someone, how she would decide whether she was going to be what we talked about before, a top or a bottom. Can you please enlighten us?
Sure. First of all, if I'm going to be in a relationship with anyone, and that's regardless of whether they're interested in BDSM or not, they have to be intelligent. I have to feel that I'm on an intellectual par with someone. If I don't feel that, I'm definitely going to want to dominate the relationship more of a, in a 24/7 style too, because I'm just going to feel like I can make better decisions about everything. So number one is intelligence. If they're very intelligent, if they're very self-assured, if they are the type of person that kind of takes control, so say they're pulling out chairs politely, but they're also kind of guiding you when you walk, that sort of thing is going to make me feel taken care of, and it's going to make me want to submit to that person. But on the other hand, if they're kind of almost overly polite and insecure, you know, do you think maybe we could possibly do something sometime? I'm going to want to top that person immediately. I'm going to want to, I'm not going to be very polite to that person probably when I'm topping him, because I don't like that wishy-washy personality. It's just going to bring out the dom in me. I'm going to boss them around and punish them probably too, because they annoy me.
Got it. And is there anybody that you wouldn't, I mean, to me, when you describe that situation, somebody who's asking for permission to be even, that wouldn't be a turn on for me at all. I mean, I wouldn't even want to dominate that person. I would only want to dominate somebody who's fun to dominate.
Well, that's the thing. There are a lot more submissive people out there than there are dominant people. So submissives are always looking for someone to submit to, if you will. Mm-hmm. And I'm typically looking for a switch, because I like it both ways. And if I am with a switch, then that means that there's something about them, a quality about them that I will submit to, which means when I'm on top, that person is someone that I already respect because they're also my dom.
Mm-hmm.
If I just am with a submissive male, technically it's not a real relationship for me. I'm just having a dominant submissive relationship with them, it would never evolve into sex. And that's something I'd like to bring up, is that a lot of people think that if you're in a BDSM relationship or a dominant submissive relationship, that it automatically includes sex. It only includes sex if you are sexually attracted to each other. But a lot of times people just want to be in a dominant or submissive role with someone, and it doesn't involve sex at all. It's whatever the two agree to.
Yes, I understand that. It's very good that you pointed that out. Some people just want to have an experience of being told what to do, clean the house, do whatever, clean your house, do whatever. I had an experience of that. I actually wrote a short story about it, and it's in a best-selling book right now.
Wonderful. What's the name of it?
The name of the book is called Lovers, and it's a best-selling book on Amazon. And one of my stories is included. It's an anthology, and my short story is called The D/D/S Experience. And I talk about an experience that I had with someone who just really wants to clean my house.
Oh, those are the best types, aren't they?
And, you know, there's other things he wants. I mean, he loves to give me massages, and he would love to have the opportunity to pleasure me. However, most of the time when we see each other, he comes here to do something. Like, he actually performs a service that he is in complete service to me of doing. He thinks that my power is awesome. So by knowing him, he's actually taught me about this. Because,
oh, that's great.
Yeah, I mean, I'm a dominant person in my life. There's a million things that I do, and nobody else is going to do them for me because I feel I do them better than anyone else. And when I do tell people what to do oftentimes, or manage people or give them instruction, they don't actually meet up to my standards.
Right.
Luckily, in this person's case, he actually does do things brilliantly and loves to please, loves to do them. So I've had a really great experience with learning the ropes, and I wrote a short story about it that's pretty steamy, and it's cranking away in the book Lovers. So
I'm going to have to read that. You know, I had a submissive, and I earlier when I said what type of a person I would dominate, this was a man who was, he had a very high-powered position and had a lot of sway and a lot of, I don't really want to say what he did, and I don't want to say where he was.
That's fine.
That's part of the privacy thing, but let's just say that he had a very influential job.
Okay.
And when I met him, he was in a relationship with a woman, but he had been a submissive for many, many, many years before he met that woman. She wasn't interested in BDSM at all, and he was interested in being topped. So we hung out. I was very attracted to him intellectually. I was not attracted to him physically, but I had just ended a relationship with a switch, and I was looking for someone to play with. So I used to play with him, and I would make him clean his apartment. He had two places. He lived on the East Coast, and then he had another place where I was living, and so I would make him clean his apartment, and if he didn't do a good job, Lori, I would punish him. So there's always that going forward if they don't do a good job. And I think he, you know, obviously I knew that he enjoyed that part of it, the punishment part, the correction, humiliation, things like that.
Well, when I first learned about this whole genre, I mean, I don't think they even called it all this stuff. I learned about it in the 70s from somebody. I was working in a bar, and I knew a kind of a mafia guy. Mm-hmm. And he told me about clubs where high power people like judges, attorneys would go. I won't even name the city, but I'll just say people who know me. People who know me know what city, but I'm just. And they would go to these places and want to be completely dominated because their jobs, what they did during the day, was so life and death provoking. Like, other people's lives were in their hands. And so to burn off that steam, they would go somewhere, find a dom, and get dominated by this person so that they wouldn't make any decisions. They would just be told what to do for a couple of hours.
And yeah, it's a release, you know, especially if there's punishment involved, if there's flogging or spanking or anything like that, pain. And flogging doesn't always hurt, by the way, but pain will release endorphins. So there's that aspect as well. But definitely people that have to make decisions all the time sometimes just want a break from it. And I considered, when I first started exploring the aspect of flogging, as receiving a flogging, it was such a zen experience for me. It was like meditation, and I meditate a lot. And this kept me in the moment, but because of the sensations, and it's like walking on coals too, because you don't think you can do it, and then you do it, and you actually like it. I mean, that's my experience. And of course, BDSM is a spectrum, and everybody has different limitations and pain tolerances, et cetera, et cetera. But I can totally understand why someone would want to submit and just let go of everything and just be in a place where for a couple of hours or however long it's going to be, they can just be and not have to think about anything.
Yeah,
it's like a gift.
I can see that now. Now, I also had a theory for a while about spanking. I don't know. It's funny because I ask this whenever I've done this show. I ask this to whoever it is that's into BDSM, that's like an expert. And that is, I had this theory that a lot of people are not grounded, like they're not embodied. We have such a mental culture, especially in the United States. Like, it's different in other cultures. I know that BDSM has been around in Europe probably longer than it has in the United States, but I'm just talking about the U.S. culture right now, and I have listeners from all over the world, but I'm going to own this for this culture, that people are so in their head, walking around like talking heads, that to get spanked or to get flogged, to experience some form of pain, gets them really more in their body, like allows them to do some kind of release that years of whatever they've been holding on to in their bodies, that's just blocking all the chakras and all the channels, mm-hmm. and that also allows them to become fully embodied, different from walking around as a talking head. What are your thoughts on that?
I think that's a brilliant theory. You know, I have never even considered that, and to me it makes perfect sense. And I'm kind of going back and thinking about my experiences being flogged and how it goes from the beginning toward the end of it. And definitely it brings you into your body, and definitely it brings you out of your head. Whatever thoughts you had are irrelevant. But then it's all about dealing with what's going on with you physically. And depending on the person that's doing the flogging, if they're doing a good job of it and they know what they're doing, they totally control the pain and they totally control where the lashes land. If they don't know what they're doing, then they probably don't even know whether what they're doing hurts or not. If you make the lashes whip around somebody's body, it really stings. But if you make the lashes all land in a general area, like on the, you know, on your buttocks or something, but not whipping around your waist into your stomach, it actually feels like a deep tissue massage. It actually feels really good. And of course, that stimulates the blood flow and certainly would get the energy moving up. And if you, and I used to have my Dom, who liked to flog me, do it in a particular way, and he would start at the bottom and work up. And so when you mentioned the chakras, I thought, well, that's exactly what was going on. He starts at the root chakra, and he would go all the way up my back. And because I was sensitive about my neck and I had a little fear around, you know, getting lashed that tall, I actually had one of those neck braces, those foam braces that people that have had neck injuries wear. Mm-hmm. And I would wear that when he flogged me so that he could go up high up on my shoulders and just flog me from the bottom up. And no pun intended, but it was definitely a great experience. And we used to argue with each other when we got together. It was a long distance relationship. Who would get to be flogged first? Mm. And I usually won because I usually had to travel further than he did to get to where we were going. So that was
the benefit.
Yeah, I would say, I've been on a plane for 4.5 hours. I need to be flogged first, because it actually was like a massage, really. Mm-hmm. And then you just mentioned the aspect of getting out of your head and getting into your body. And then I do think that the energy is moved through the chakras. You know, it your blood is flowing when you're getting flogged. There's a lot of energy going on. So that's a great point that you made. I'm going to remember that.
That's great. We're going to take a break here. I want to mention a couple things. When we come back, we're going to talk about your book, how you wrote the book, what it's about, and how people can find out about it. I want to make sure that we do that. And the other thing is that I have seen some disturbing BDSM. I did attend a conference sometime last year, and I saw some things that didn't look so great to me. And I really, I had judgment about it. I, and everyone is entitled to have anything and everything they want in their life. And if it's tremendous measures of pain, then that's their choice. But I saw things in the, quote, playroom of this particular conference that turned my stomach, frankly. So I wanted to spend like a couple minutes on that when we come back. So if you just tuned in, again, you're listening to Sex and Happiness. I'm Laurie Handlers, your host. And today we're talking about BDSM, a new book coming out about BDSM, which is called Blindfolded, A True Story. And I'm interviewing Kasey Kane. So stay tuned. She and I will be right back.
Many times on Sex and Happiness, you've heard Laurie talk about emotional release and how important it is. Well, now you can do emotional release in the privacy of your own home. In Laurie's CD, Shamanic Release and Lottie Hahn, she creates a safe and sacred space in which you can do the powerful work Laurie is known for in her sacred sexuality courses. Laurie sets you up with the proper positioning and breathing. Then she guides you through each emotional state to the beat of tribal African rhythms. This CD provides an easy way to do emotional clearing work on a regular basis. Order your copy of Shamanic Release and Lottie Hahn today and watch your relationships walk free of emotional baggage. To order the Shamanic Release and Lottie Hahn CD by Laurie Handlers, go to www.butterflyworkshops.com right now.
Hey, do you want to deepen your intimacy while being on the perfect vacation? I'm talking about an all-inclusive vacation with a nude beach, a prude beach, and an exceptional nightlife and plenty of entertainment. And there's so much more. In really fun classes every day, I will take you deeper and deeper into couples sensuality, into intimacy, and enhanced communication as the week progresses. I also will offer private or semi-private sessions by appointment. I'll offer sessions in sex magic, G-spot stimulation, female ejaculation, and men's ejaculation choice. These are all topics that can be covered. When? October 10th to 17th, 2015. Where? Hedonism 2 Resort in Negril, Jamaica. For more information or to book your room, call Tom's Trips at 800-285-0853. That's 800-285-0853. Please book now. I can't wait to be with you in Jamaica.
This is Sex and Happiness, a show about sex and happiness. I am Laurie Handlers, and today I'm talking to Kasey Kane about her experiences of BDSM. And so far, so good. I mean, she's making it really palatable, I want to tell you all. And so that's kind of a good thing, because if some of you are just depending on that book, you know the book that's coming out in the movie, blah, blah, blah. If you're depending on that, that's not a good thing to depend on. This is a real life experience, and it isn't, we're talking about it to you, so it's not poorly written, and we're not talking about character flaws. We're talking about real people who might have an attraction for one reason or another to being dominated or being the dom. So I mentioned to you before the break that I saw some things at a conference that were disturbing to me, very disturbing to me. There were practices that I saw. I'm not going to go into all kinds of detail, but it really looked to me like people were getting very hurt. Some of them were even getting cut. Uh-huh. And I, even though I saw them after that experience and they were all smiley, I was somewhat in shock
that people would go to that extreme, that they needed that much pain. Can you speak to that?
Yes. I was at a Leatherfest conference in San Diego years ago, and I had a similar experience. There was a submissive who was tied to it's called a St. Andrew's cross. It's just this X-shaped device. So his hands are spread up above him and his legs are spread. And the Dom was lashing him with a single tail whip. And the submissive wanted to have 100 lashes. And by the time I walked up to this, there was a huge crowd around him and people were counting out the lashes. And the Dom would take breaks, like every 10 lash he would rest and let the guy on the cross sort of like catch his breath. But by the time it was all over and done with, that man's back was like hamburger meat. I do like a certain amount of pain. I have, I think, a high tolerance to it, but I do like it. And I it's not sexually exciting to me, but I will say this about it. I do like pain. And it's not that it gets me off sexually like it does some people, but it's like walking on coals. It makes me feel good about myself and I get an endorphin rush and, you know, mentally it makes me, it just makes me a stronger person, I think. So I had to suspend my judgment of whether I would like what that guy liked and just decide that it was something that he needed to do at that time. Scarification, where people, you know, cut designs into themselves. That's another thing that I don't understand.
But it's, me neither.
It's a spectrum, you know, so people like different things. And so I try not to judge people, but I also have strict limits. There are lots of things I won't do in the BDSM genre. You can find a BDSM survey online just by typing, I think, BDSM survey, and you'll get like a 5-page questionnaire, which is what I give people that I play with before I play with them the first time, and you can see what they're interested in, what they would never want to do, what they would do just because you want to, but they might not ever want to do it again, et cetera, et cetera. And it's a great place to start if you're playing with somebody for the first time.
That's a great tip. Thank you so much for that. Mm-hmm. So good. Thank you. And thanks for addressing that. So let's move on to your book, Blindfolded. Don't tell us the whole story, of course, but Give us a little piece of it and how you came to live it, because it's mm-hmm. a true story. So,
okay. So a friend of mine asked me if I would top her and a friend of hers who wanted to be topped, and she was a submissive. And I said, well, I'll play with you guys, but why don't I teach you to be a top and then you two can play, because he wanted to be in a relationship with a dominant woman. I said, and then you can play with him. So we tried that and it didn't work at all. She's just a submissive through and through. And he wanted to be dominated by me. And so we just kind of kept on with it. And I just decided that I didn't want him to see me. And so I made him wear a blindfold, and then because I wanted to go out in public with him, I then made him paint a pair of sunglasses, wraparound sunglasses, black, so he couldn't see through that. And so we had this long relationship where he never saw me. And so that's how that's the premise of the book. It's about my experiences with him. And eventually we decided, it was a big decision for when he would take the blindfold off, because he really liked being blindfolded and he liked the whole idea of not really knowing who I was. So the book is a trilogy. The first book is coming out this year and it's basically me on top. And then the second book is me on bottom. And then the third book is a little bit of both.
Got it. Okay, that's great. So the first one's coming out this year and then the second one, you think that'll come out this year too?
Yes, the second book is almost done, but I don't want them both coming out at the same time.
Mm-hmm. Well, that sounds great, and it sounds like quite the experience.
It was a lot of fun. Spoken like a true switch, right?
So that's great. So it sounds like people could really learn a lot from these books.
Well, I really wanted people not to get the same misinformation that so many BDSM books have that are written by people that are not into the scene. In fact, there is a conference that is coming up in August, and it's specifically for writers to learn about BDSM so that they can write accurately about it. And I'm going to be going to that. And you can find it online at BDSMWritersCon.com. It's been going on for 4 years, and I'm going to be a featured author there. Yeah, or you can message me through my website if you want more information. And I have a blog website, blindfoldedatruestory.wordpress.com. Or you can message me on Facebook, and you just type Naughty Author KZ Kane, and you'll find my Facebook page.
So let me go back to this for a second. So what you're saying is that they've created an entire conference for people to be able to really learn about true BDSM instead of just what some romance authors might make into their fantasy and try to make that fantasy into some kind of reality in a book, and it resembles nothing like the real world.
Yes, they like 50 Shades of Grey. It's like,
I knew you were going to say that.
It's just so crazy.
I'll tell you my biggest complaint about that book, and it seems so vanilla to me, but my biggest complaint about that book is that they would be doing whatever they were doing, the two main characters, and then no matter what they were doing, no matter what he was doing to her, no matter what she was thinking or saying, they always had an orgasm exactly at the same time together. And I thought, there is not one couple that I know on earth, whether they're a long-term couple, whether they're a one-night stand, whatever they are, who come together. That is, like, people wish they could, sometimes they want to, but that simply never seems to happen. And mostly that happens when one partner doesn't know the other partner that well, or doesn't understand that that partner needs to be satisfied a certain way before other kinds of clitoral orgasms, before vaginal orgasms, which has been the topic of this show before many times. These two people, no matter what they were doing in the book, there was always this big explosion together. And I thought, this is so unreal. This woman doesn't even know about the woman who wrote it doesn't even know about making love.
No. Yeah. It was just fantasy. The entire thing was fantasy, and bad fantasy. But I'll say this about bondage and orgasms. One of the reasons I love bondage is because you absolutely cannot do one thing for the other person sexually when you're in bondage. All you can do is concentrate on your own orgasm. And I don't know if I can say this on the radio or not, but, you know, I've had the best sex when I'm tied up.
Well, you said it, and there you go. Like, it's perfectly okay. This is internet radio. So that's great. It's great to know. And that also, someone once was on my show a long time ago, Shanna Katz, and she said that when someone is tied up, it gives them permission to experience things that they don't allow themselves to give themselves permission to experience. Like when the sense of being able to control is taken away, then they can be naughtier because they could, in their mind, change it into, well, this person's doing it to me. I'm a victim of them. And therefore, even though I desire it, I could never let myself have it if my hands were free.
Yeah, exactly. I totally agree with that. I think that BDSM is a way for people to explore their darker sides, or it's just all role playing. So whatever sexual fantasy you've had, you can reenact it. And sometimes it's a little depressing to find out that your fantasies are so much better than the reality. But, you know, you never know that until you try it. And sometimes you find out that it's way better than you thought. You know, you're doing something that, if you're with a Dom that wants to do something and you've agreed to, okay, I'm going to do this for you because it's your fantasy, and even though it's not mine and I don't think it's going to be any fun and blah, 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 you do it and it's fantastic.
Great.
So BDSM is just another way to explore your sexuality that I think it gives you a little bit more permission to examine the darker things.
So in our last seconds here, what advice would you give to people who might want to BDSM in a safe way? What would you tell them in a couple sentences?
I would say, have a small amount of time that you're going to do it in. So say the first scene is only going to be for 30 minutes and start small with maybe, you know, just a sensual spanking. Don't tie somebody up. Don't hog tie them, but maybe you can put handcuffs on them. But they're all different kinds of handcuffs. I would go for something that's made out of fabric and something that they can slip out of, something that's just sort of there for show, and just see how they like it.
Great. That's wonderful. That's really good advice. Once again, how can they contact you? What's the absolute best way to contact you?
Go to blindfoldedatruestory.wordpress.com and go to the contact tab, and they can send me an email that way. That's the best.
Okay.
Or, you know, if they want to go to Facebook, they can do that. Naughty author Casey Kane.
That's great. Casey Kane, thank you so much for your time today. It's been my pleasure to have you on the show.
Thank you, Lori. It's been so much fun.
You're welcome. And everybody else, stay tuned next week when I'll have another amazing person increasing your sex and your happiness. This is Lori Handler signing off for Sex and Happiness.
Thank you for joining us today for Sex and Happiness. To learn more about Lori and her work, please go to butterflyworkshops.com or follow her on Twitter or Facebook. You can send her an email at sexandhappiness@gmail.com. We'll see you again right here next week for another edition of Sex and Happiness. Oh,